So anyway, he writes a song about nowhere, man. He's sitting, he can't get anything, and he says in this book that I have, nothing would come to my mind. I was cheesed off and went for a lie down and having given up. And I thought to myself that I'm just a nowhere man. I'm sitting in a nowhere land. I don't have anything to offer the world. John Lennon. He wrote a number of self-deprecating songs like that. I'm down, I'm a loser, I'm so tired, I'm only sleeping, I'll cry instead. If you look at John Lennon's songs, he wrote many songs that were self-deprecating. He didn't think very much of himself. He didn't think he mattered very much. And the reason he didn't think he mattered very much in this world because his father left him when he was 8 years old and he never saw him again. And his mother really didn't want to be a mother. And she decided to give John over to her sister, John's aunt Mimi, to raise. This all comes out in a song, in a painful song that was on his first record album that he made as a solo artist in 1970, that is. And the song was entitled Mother. Some of the words were, Mother, you had me, but I didn't have you. Father, you left me, but I didn't leave you. And then at the end of the song, there's a five-time repeated line that grows in painful intensity each time he says it. And he says, Mama, don't go. Daddy, come home. Mama, don't go. Daddy, come home. Five times. It's a very sad song. John Lennon didn't think that he mattered too much to the world, and so he wrote a song called Nowhere Man. Nowhere Man, isn't he a bit like you and me? And isn't it true that isn't he a bit like you and me? Because it is possible that in each one of our lives, we've had things happen, relationships, maybe somebody significant, who made us feel like we didn't matter. Could have been somebody who discouraged us from being all that we could be, who criticized us, who yelled at us, who unfairly disciplined us, or in John Lennon's case, who actually left us. And for various reasons, people in this world, and there's a lot of us, feel like that we don't matter. I read a blog online the other day. I'm going to read it verbatim. Hi, my name is Alyssa. I've been feeling like everything I do doesn't matter. And to others, I can't do anything right. It is just making me feel like crap. I thought I was past all this when I left school, but to think my own family would make me feel this way. I feel like my parents don't care about me. My brother is constantly down my throat about something I did wrong. My other brother, honest to God, does not talk to me anymore. None of them would ever ask or care how I am. I stay home all the time feeling depressed about myself. I just feel so alone right now in my life that no one would care if I even were dead. In fact, they would all benefit from it. And I can't stop feeling this way. There's a lot of people that feel that way. Some people come into that thinking they don't matter much when they play the comparison game. You ever play the comparison game? You know, you look at the beautiful people of the world, the best people of the world, the best athletes, the most wealthy people, and we compare ourselves to the best and the brightest of the world, and we, in light of who they are, it's like, gosh, I don't matter very much. And you know, if you're a person that comes to the conclusion or you ever feel like you don't matter very much to other people, it's just a very small leap to also deciding that you don't matter to God. There's many parents who use God as a kind of a, I don't know what to call, a whipping stick or something like that. You ever had parents tell you something like, Jimmy, don't roll Susie's head up in the car window. God's going to get you for that. Or, Susie, I told you, if you keep on lying like that, God's going to get you from that. Or some well-meaning preacher who says, if you keep acting like that, God's going to get you for that. Send you right to hell. It's no wonder that there are many people that roam around this planet and in God's churches who have decided that they don't matter very much and that, in fact, they don't matter to God either. They don't matter to God either. These dynamics are not limited to our times. They existed in the time of Jesus too. Last week we looked at Luke 15, a beautiful chapter about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son who all are found. And Jesus, we saw last week, is trying to teach that everybody is welcome at his table. And I told you that even though I only planned on preaching now to that passage last Sunday, that I felt like after studying in it a little while, it bore three or four messages. And so I'm going back to that one today, and I'm just going to deal with the first two verses of chapter 15, which I remind you says that tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. The Pharisees, you see, decided who mattered to God and who didn't matter to God. That was their general attitude. And if Luke 15 gives us the general attitude of the Pharisees, Luke chapter 7 gives us a specific example of that very thing, and I want to read it for you now. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him, so Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind Jesus at his feet. In those days, they reclined to eat dinner. They had a pad about that thick. They called them couches. And they were laid all around a table that was about 18 inches off the ground. And they would lay down on those pads around the table, and they would lean on their right or left elbow and use the other hand for eating. And this is why Jesus' feet, this woman leans down behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. And she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. And when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. And Jesus answered his thoughts. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other. But neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? And Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. And so I tell you this, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. And then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The men at the table said among themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. If Luke 15 is a generalization of the attitude that Pharisees had towards certain people, then Luke 7 is a specific illustration of that very same thing. For they have not only measured up and found lacking this woman whom Simon the Pharisee labels as a sinner, but they are even ready to reject Jesus, not only as a son of God, but even as a rabbi. For the Pharisee says, when he invited him and saw this, if this man were a prophet, in other words, he's not a prophet, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. The Pharisees had it all worked out. Who mattered to God and who didn't matter to God? If you were a Pharisee, you mattered to God. Or if you were rich, you mattered to God. But if you were a non-Jewish person or someone who was sick or poor, you didn't matter to God, according to the Pharisees. And this woman in this story who grew up in that culture was feeling bad about her belief. She was made to feel, you don't matter to God. And it had an impact on the way she lived her life, you understand? She felt like she didn't matter to God, and the way she felt about herself and that God didn't really care much for her impacted the way she lived her life. Similar to a 23-year-old girl named Jenny. Jenny was an attractive girl, had a pleasing personality, but she was raised by parents who were more into pursuing their American dream than helping her to find out any dream of her own. And the only time they conversed with their daughter Jenny was when they wanted to straighten her out or punish her or disobey or whenever she was doing something wrong. That's the only time she talked. And beyond that, her pastor was one of these pastors who was always, God is going to get you for that. If you mess up, God's going to get you for that. And because this Jenny grew up in that kind of environment, she was having a hard time with her life. She had bombed out of college. She was about ready to be fired from her job, and she had developed an eating disorder. Life was not going well for her because she felt like she didn't matter to her parents, and she felt like she didn't matter to God. Fortunately for this Jenny, she had a friend who was a seminary professor, a friend of the family's. He was preparing a week-long spiritual retreat for seminary students. And despite the fact that she wasn't in seminary, who knew she was having a hard time, and he invited her to come along with these seminary students to participate in this spiritual retreat. When they got to the retreat, he sat her down in a chair to have a private conversation, and he said to her, Jenny, I didn't invite you here because I want to change your behavior. And she says, that's funny. People have told me all of my life that my behavior is my problem. And he said to her, I'm not worried about your behavior. It's your beliefs I'm interested in. Pay attention, guys. It's your beliefs I'm interested in. I'm praying you will change your beliefs about God and who you are to Him. You are not a failure. You are not a bad person. You are a child of God, he said. No better or worse than any other person on this retreat. And Jesus offers you the same opportunity to become all He wants you to be that He offers every one of His children. I want you to start to believe that because it is the truth. And you know what? Jenny decided that she was going to believe that. In fact, as that week continued, every day she got up in the morning and decided, I'm going to believe that. I'm going to start every day by telling myself that I do matter to God. In fact, God loves me. He sent His Son to die for me. He's willing to forgive all my sins. He's willing to be part of my life. He's willing to help me move on and become all that He wants me to be. She decided that during that week and started every day. 6 months later, her life was changed dramatically. Her circumstances didn't change. Guess what changed? Her belief. That's what changed. And when she changed her belief, it had an impact on her behavior. And her life became much better for it. Those who conclude that they don't matter to people and often then conclude they don't matter to God, we just need to remember that God holds us valuable. He created us. He died for us. He loves us. We matter to God. I'm going back to Paul's letter again. Listen to this. Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. He decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace that He's poured out upon us in His Son, Jesus Christ. We matter to God. We matter to God. He had us in His mind before He even created the world. And His purposes for us go way beyond the few short years that we live on this planet. His plans for us involve all eternity. We matter to God. That's why in Luke, in chapter 15, you have those phrases, when the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son are found. In the same way, there's more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who turns to God than over the 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away, the lost sheep. In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents, the lost coin. And then, of course, the lost son. The joy that the Father has when anyone comes to know the Lord, because it's an eternal kind of thing. We all matter to God. We all matter to God. I don't know who you are or where you're at this morning in that regard. I have a feeling, when I was talking earlier about how some of us have been rejected and we've had people criticize us, I have a feeling I'm talking to some people who have been made to feel in your lives that you don't matter, that you just don't matter. And if that has bled over into feeling like you don't matter to God, then I'm here to say to you today that we all do matter to God. And if we will just come to believe that and start every day like Jenny did, with getting up in the morning and say, hey, I matter to you, Lord. You created me. You've recreated me in Christ. You died for my sins. I'm going to heaven someday. I realize how valuable I am. If we just begin each day that way, it will have an impact on our behavior. I point you to Christ if you've never met him before. And I close with a story about another Jenny who will illustrate this, I hope. This other Jenny was a teenager. She was a sophomore when this story begins, a sophomore in high school. She is more attractive and taller than many of the girls in her class, and so it's easy for her to shake her strawberry blonde hair and give a faint smile in order to attract older boys. And by the time she's a junior in high school, she's experienced all the vices that the world dangled in front of her. Jenny. It would be a wonder if she had any other kind of experience, because she was raised by a father who abandoned her to a drug-using mother when she was a young girl. This mother of hers, in some terrible way of bonding, even did drugs with her daughter so they could bond together. That's how messed up the mother was. So it's no wonder that Jenny grew up in this environment. With the father having left and the mother sharing drugs with her, she was a wild one. By the time she was a senior in high school, she had been invited to go to a church youth retreat by somebody, a friend that knew her in school, said, my church is having a little bit of a youth retreat. We're going to have a game night. Why don't you come over and at least play some games? She'd never been to a church before, but because this girl was a friend of hers, she went. Although she never went back to that church youth group again, something that the youth pastor said on that game night evening stuck in her mind as the youth pastor talked about Luke 7 and a woman who felt so badly ashamed about her life that she knelt down at the feet of Jesus and washed them with her tears and dried them with her hair. That stuck with her. But by the time she's a senior, she's raging every night. Every night. One night, she's out with four other girls in the back seat of a car, and they've been partying all night. And about 2:00 in the morning, they're driving down a road, and somehow the Spirit of God broke through to that Jenny. And she became ashamed of her life and the life that she had been living, and she grew tired of it. And somehow she felt like God was talking to her right there in the back seat of that car, and she said, take me to my car, which was parked in the school parking lot. She got out of that car with those friends of hers and got in her own car, didn't know what else to do, decided to drive back to that church she'd gone to 2 years earlier, not realizing that at 2:00 in the morning, there's not going to be anybody there. She pulls in the driveway to this church, and there he was. Not the youth pastor, but Jesus. He was standing there with arms outstretched. She drove up next to Jesus, who was standing there, realized it was a statue of Jesus with arms outstretched on a little pad next to a garden. She got out of her car. She went to the foot of the statue. She knelt down there. She began to think about that message that pastor gave a couple years earlier. And with keen insight, this Jenny concluded that if that prostitute in Jesus' story in Luke 7 mattered to God, then perhaps I can matter to God too. And she began to cry, and the tears fell on the feet of the statue of Jesus. And remembering the story, she kind of used her hair to dry off the feet of Jesus. And when she got up there, Jenny was a new woman. In that little transaction, she gave her heart to Christ and began to live a new life. She changed what she believed about who she was. She came to the realization that she mattered to God. And if you're coming to that realization today, that you matter to God, regardless of who you are or how you've lived your life, He is more than ready, willing, and able to accept you now for who you are, just exactly like you are. He loves you so much, and it's my great joy, if you've never come to Christ yet, to point you in His direction right now. He's the one who will accept us all, no matter who we are, or what we've done, or the way we are living our lives. We all matter to God. And I pray that more than anything else today, you'll take that out of here when you go out the door. You matter to God. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the story that Luke told. Many of us have been there, feeling ashamed of our lives for whatever reason. And when we think about our lives in light of who you are, we sometimes measure ourselves up and feel like we are lacking and therefore do not matter to you. Forgive us when we think that way. Help us to begin to rightly believe that we are very valuable to you. So valuable. You love us so much that you sent your only Son into the world, that whosoever believes in Him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Help us this day once again to bow at your feet, to come to you, to as best we can call you not only Savior, but Lord. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen.